The use of bank settlement money was back in the news at Legislative Hall this week. Delaware Public Media political reporter James Dawson covered that story and much more going on in the General Assembly. And he joins us again this week to recap the week that was in Dover. James, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Tom.
Well, let's start off with that bank settlement money. The Joint Finance Committee has made a decision on what to do with that remaining bank settlement funding. After much haggling over what to do, the votes earlier this week, what did they decide to spend this money on after all?
Well, they decided to spend it on a lot of things, actually. So JFC doling out that $28.3 million is going into 17 different pots. Biggest highlights are significant chunks of money going towards two specific funds. One buys up deserted property, fixes it up, and sells it. And they're trying to strengthen neighborhoods that way to just get rid of this blight that might be used for drug dens and things like that. The other will pay for increased police patrols, street cameras, certain landscaping projects. Kind of make these neighborhoods a little bit more eye appeal, mm-hmm. curb appeal. And you've also got more money now going to a state housing voucher program than originally proposed. Two of the more controversial funds are going to bankroll pilot programs that will create after-school programs for low-income students, while another focuses on keeping those same students in line with their grade-level readiness. Republicans say they're good programs, but they feel that earmarking this money will now obligate them to continue funding them in the future.
And that is, I guess, to some of the opposition this is seeing, not just on how to spend it, as you said, but also whether or not JFC has the authority to spend it on its own accord, right?
Yeah, so all four Republicans on JFC actually voted against the plan, even though some of them actually fought for and got increased funding for parts of it, the state rental assistance program in particular. So they're saying that it's unconstitutional to not bring this to both chambers of the General Assembly. Delaware's constitution does require a three-quarters vote on state funds being given to outside companies and nonprofits. And Senate GOP lawmakers sent a release out yesterday saying they're going to try and petition the state Supreme Court to issue opinion on the matter, though it's really hard to say whether that'll gain any traction since Democrats control both chambers.
And I guess the other argument the Republicans were making was that they were going to the Supreme Court because you couldn't go to Matt Dehn because Matt Dehn's too tied up as Attorney General in what this money is being spent on, so they need to find a different venue for someone to decide this.
Well, especially because Attorney General Dehn actually did write an opinion on this saying, yes, I can spend this money in this way and it's perfectly legal. And they just don't buy it.
So it should be an interesting discussion going forward, though it appears more likely that the money is going to be spent this way going forward. That bill we talked a little bit about last week, sending incentives to Dow DuPont to bring a couple of the spinoff companies that are expected to Delaware, cleared the House, immediately signed by Governor Markell this week. So it is a done deal. But in the House, when it was voted on, there was some pushback. Tell us a little bit about what was going on there.
Yeah, it was minor but vocal pushback on that bill Thursday. So Representative John Kawako, who's always been staunchly opposed to these types of bills, calling them corporate welfare, spoke for several minutes during this debate. He went as so far as to say that the state is flushing money down the toilet, saying that these multi-billion-dollar companies really don't need this extra few million dollars that Delaware's kind of throwing their way. Only two other Democrats voted no on the bill. Only one other spoke. And then another representative, Paul Bomback, did not vote either way because he thought that this was a, quote, half solution because there was no real mechanism to fund these tens of millions of dollars that the state is giving out.
Another interesting bill released from a House committee this week was regarding the shackling of juveniles who are appearing in court. And it struck me as odd that this is still happening and it's something that's actually in need of legislation to change. What's the story with this?
Well, it doesn't necessarily need legislation to change. I spoke with the bill sponsor, Representative James Johnson, and he says this is court policy. It's not actually in state
right.
code, but he's just kind of doing the legislation to codify it and push it into a more permanent state. So really, right now, minors who are accused of committing crimes in Delaware, they go through family court. They don't go through mm-hmm. superior court, et cetera. But if they're not free on bail, they're transported to their hearings and kept in shackles while they're in there. So a nearly three-year-old internal memo among family court officials and others involved in the youth justice system did remove handcuffs and belly chains from this getup, like I said, about 3 years ago. But these defendants are still hobbled by leg irons, and they still have the main shackle cuffs that tie their hands to their feet. So the U.S. Supreme Court did in 2005 rule it unconstitutional for adults to be handled in this matter, at least carte blanche, and saying it makes them look guilty and it can hamper them from trying to write notes to their attorneys. But it's really not clear as to why this was never adopted by family court, since, it, like I said, it's not law. So this would make shackling an option if this kid's a flight risk or they pose some sort of danger. It passed unanimously from the House committee and is expected for a floor vote soon.
It's just fascinating that it would be the younger offenders that are still shackled as opposed to older offenders. It seems kind of counterintuitive, but interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. Also, this week, the State Board of Education approved the WEAC Wilmington redistricting plan, sending it now on to the General Assembly for approval and funding. Any sense of how hard to sell this is going to be at Lake Hall, in particular the funding that the governor requested in his budget proposal?
Well, as you know, most education issues, and especially coming from the Mark Kelly administration, have been pretty hard sells at Lake Hall. But it's really tough to say at this point because there's been so much controversy around it, and we didn't have a completely concrete plan until this week. So stances have been fairly split among lawmakers that I've spoken to, but none of them who are against it sit on JFC. I don't think that getting the funding will be a problem. Since you pointed out, it's covered under the governor's recommended budget. It's $6 million out of a $4.1 billion budget, billion with a B. The hard part is going to be convincing enough lawmakers to vote for it in committee, and then if it gets out of committee on the floor.
It's just interesting. The one thing I think the folks at WEAC have learned is that they really do need to, and they've said this a few times now, in the last couple of weeks as they finally got things through the state board, that they're going to engage lawmakers pretty strongly on this issue. Dan Rich, the policy director for WEAC, saying that he thinks they should have support because everyone largely was on board to create WEAC. Now they just want them to support the work that WEAC's doing. That seems to be the tenor of the argument they're going to make, whether or not that works in fact. We will see.
But that's the thing that's kind of was coming up with the State Board of Education. Everyone says that this is a problem. We need to address it. It's just once specifics come out, you know, hands are in the air.
It all goes in a different direction. Quickly, anything else on the legislative radar as we head into the final week before Easter break?
Yeah, something we could see and that we've been, at least I've been waiting for, is this new background check bill from House Majority Leader Valerie Longhurst. There were rumblings it was going to come out this past week, but it never surfaced. And what she says it will do is indefinitely put a gun purchase on hold if this national firearms database can't confirm that someone doesn't have a hold on their name. Happens in a small amount of cases, but these dealers can legally sell these guns after 3 days. So 92% of these are processed in that same time period in Delaware. But Longhurst says the state needs to be more cautious. And you can definitely expect some pushback once this is actually put into the system.
All right. James Dawson, thanks for joining us again this week on The Green.
Glad to be here, Tom.